Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Paul Craig Roberts. We're trying to get Paul on the phone. I'm sure we ought to be able to get him on before too long. Paul writes marvelous articles. Regular listeners know that Paul was a high Treasury official back in the 1980s, and he's become a severe critic, a very honorable critic of U.S. policies, domestic ones, foreign ones, and Paul pulls no punches explaining what people need to know about. He does it in his writings. He does it in his books. He does it in interviews that he gives. He's done it many times on this program, and hopefully we'll connect with him okay, and we'll be able to continue the discussions that we've had before with Paul. Paul's newest article, posted on Global Research, among other websites, he calls it, "As ye sow, so shall ye reap. The only market that America dominates is the market for financial fraud." Well, I'm sure Paul would agree that it also dominates global militarism and permanent wars and homeland repression and all of the things that go hand in hand with what Paul writes about. So Paul has written about all of this. So what he's saying is very, very true. Financial fraud, indeed. I mean, Wall Street literally gets away with stealing not millions, not billions, not trillions, multi-trillions. Goes on forever. The bailouts, bail-ins if they're needed, already set to do them if bailouts are no longer possible ahead, bail-ins will substitute. We've discussed bail-ins before. For listeners who don't recall who aren't familiar with the term, bailouts means that taxpayer money is handed to corporate crooks. So in other words, the money that we pay in taxes literally gets handed over to corporate crooks to cover up their fraud, abuse, and other crimes. Bail-ins essentially work the same way, except instead of taking it out of taxes we pay, it goes right into our personal bank accounts, money market accounts, savings, whatever, literally steals money right from the source. Forget about filing a tax return. They'll just steal it right. They'll put their hand in your pocket directly and take your money. It could be any amount they want. They can take it from any segment of society they want. They can take it from everybody if they want. They can take it all if they want. If things get bad enough, don't bet they won't do it. I guess we still don't have Paul in the line. I'm surprised. Paul is usually right as rain, and we exchange emails, within the last hour or so. I'm just wondering if Paul, by any chance, might be at a different number. Let me just take a moment.
Hey, Stephen, are you there?
Oh, Paul, are you on?
Well, you gave your program planner the wrong number.
Oh, dear, are you still at your summer number?
Yeah, I'm still in the mountains.
Oh, I did give my PRN the fall and winter number because I thought by late October you would be north, not south.
Well, no.
You're still south.
But
mistake, Paul. I sincerely apologize. That's the reason I give everybody PRN's toll-free number, just in case.
Well, I'm glad you sent it to me because I figured something had gone wrong. They usually call me before 11.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
Well, anyhow, we can get on with your show.
Oh, did you hear some of what I said about your recent article?
I didn't hear anything, but I don't mind if you...
Oh, I mentioned your October 23rd dated article on Global Research when you talk about the only market that America dominates is the market for financial fraud.
Oh, yeah, right.
Maybe that's a good way to start off.
Well, you know, I have an ally in that, Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Well, I hope you'll have a lot of allies, Paul, because there certainly is a lot of fraud around, and there aren't enough allies.
Well, the only one I know of is Elizabeth Warren. You know, she's trying to get them to do something about the fraud other than find them. She says, let's put them in jail. And
well, I'm all in favor of that. You know, even when fines are levied against these crooks, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, whatever, not one high-level executive faces criminal charges. They all go free. They're free to steal again, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been clear ever since they deregulated or they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, that the financial system would become a mechanism for looting, and that's what it is. It no longer has any positive function. It just loots. And the conservatives and the free market economists, they continue to pretend that it finances industry and business and small businesses and venture capitalists, and it's the lifeblood of the economy. Well, all it does is place bets that can't be covered in a casino and rely on the Federal Reserve to cover the bets. So it's a system for looting. And, you know, another thing that I don't think gets much publicity, Stephen, you may know more about this, the big banks, the banks too big to fail, they're now in every kind of business. They own all kinds of corporations and various commodity businesses, and they're simply leaving traditional banking. There are huge holding companies that appear to be monopolizing their entire economy. It's quite an amazing thing. Somebody needs to look into that. I know I'm not prepared to talk about it right now in any detail, but it is going on.
Paul, I do know what's going on, and I can give you a concrete example that affects me directly. I live in a building that has its own small market right inside the building. It had a different one, and several years ago, the other one was replaced by a longtime grocer in the neighborhood. That really does a fine job. I used to shop there. They have a main store within walking distance of me, and that's where I did most of my shopping. Well, now they have a small store right in my building. Goldman Sachs owns the space where this store is located in my building. Well, that's part of the story. The other part of the story is, I don't know how they did this, but somehow they conned the building with expense that I pay to the building every month to get the building to design the space for this store with my money and the money of other people who live in the building. So they not only have the space, they game it for profit, and I and other building residents had to pay to redesign the space at a pretty high cost. I forget exactly what it cost, but it cost plenty, in the several hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for this thing. So Goldman Sachs literally touches me where I eat, dare I say, where I live and where I eat.
That's right. And you know what? I'm beginning to suspect that they were ever in so much difficulty and that the height was used for the Fed to hand them trillions of dollars to buy up the rest of the economy. Because if they're in such difficult situations as they've portrayed, that they're too big to fail, and they have to have this ongoing Federal Reserve purchase of bonds to keep the prices of the debt-related derivatives on their balance sheet so high that they're still solvent. If that's really going on, how did they get the money to buy up so many industries?
I guess when they get
beginning to think that the fraud is even bigger, and that of course the Federal Reserve is part of it. But all this massive amount of money, Comptroller on the Currency, I guess it was, released the report a year or two ago, that, and I reported on it, and you probably did too, that the Federal Reserve had lent $16.3 trillion to the banks. It had just created the money and given it to them. Well, what for? I mean, with $16 trillion, you can buy up an awful lot of the economy. And it just makes me wonder, somebody really who knows more about all that should look into it, because that could, how else can we explain all the businesses that the banks now control or have interest in? This is not traditional American banking.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right, Paul. And I think these major banks, the big Wall Street banks and the European banks, they operate on a global basis, and they'll go into a country like Greece that is so deeply troubled and has been for so long, and they'll get the state to sell off private assets, state assets. I mean, my God, they could sell off everything. I mean, ports, railroads, if they have any, airports, other state.
Yeah, municipal water companies.
Oh,
the
indeed.
Islands and the national heritage.
And sell it off at fire sale prices. I mean, this
right.
is part of the dirty game that these people play. So they get the countries in trouble. I remember, it's been some time, Paul, but I wrote about the Goldman Sachs advising the Greek government and literally creating a plan for them designed to fail, not succeed, to get Greece in even more trouble than they ended up being in. And, of course, Greece has been selling off their crown jewels to Goldman Sachs and other predators. And I imagine the same stuff is happening in other countries.
Well, you know that the British have privatized the Royal Mail, and the Goldman Sachs was the advisor to Cameron.
Same thing.
And you know that the scandal that came up because they valued the assets of the Royal Mail, that is, the entire real estate holdings all over the United Kingdom, at less than the value of one London depot. It's now a scandal. And who advised them? Goldman Sachs. So I really do think that more is going on than meets the eye. Even people like you and I who are not gullible or taken in by them, it seems to me it's even worse. I really do think some explanation has to be given how busted banks requiring public bailout and Federal Reserve bailout managed to buy up so many of the public assets of other countries, but also of the corporate and private assets in the United States. There's so many companies that they now, as well as I remember, this was a pattern of the original German banking system. The German banks basically held stakes in the industries that they financed. Well, as far as I can tell, the American banks don't finance industries anymore, but they buy them up and grab the profits. So some real investigation needs to be done, but who would do it? What politician would step forward? They would smash him down. His opponent in the next election would have trillions of dollars to spend against him.
You remember the flash crash a few years ago, Paul, when the Dow, if I remember right, the Dow intraday dropped about 1,000 points and then bounced back very strongly. And I remember something said about it that this was the show, The Power of Wall Street. You know, you mess with us, and we can really mess you up very, very badly. Well, there's a way to mess them up even more badly. Put the crooks in prison, and they won't be able to do it. I mean, that would send a message to all of them. You pull these kind of shenanigans, and, you know, you may get away with mucking up the markets, but you'll be spending a lot of prison time for having done it and all the rest. But nobody challenges them, Paul, so they literally get away with anything they want.
Well, you see, Senator Elizabeth Warren has stepped forth, and that's what she says. Okay, when are they going to jail? And I doubt she'll get much support from the Senate. And she won't get any from the Department of Justice. We know it's totally corrupt. So, essentially, Wall Street owns the country. It owns the government, owns the country. And their short-term greed will probably drive us to destruction. You know, it was Aesop, you know, of the Aesop fables, who said, we hang petty thieves and appoint the great thieves to public office.
And the Balzac quote about behind every great fortune is a great crime.
Yeah. And I like Nikita Khrushchev's. This is one of my favorites. Politicians are the same all over. They promise to build a bridge even where there is no river.
Well, I also loved I.F. Stone. I wish we'd had him around today. He's been gone since the late 1980s, but a famous muckraking journalist. And he used to lecture and teach journalism students. And he had a couple of quotes that basically said, all politicians lie, and nothing they say can be believed, and it sure is true.
Yeah. Yeah, and how you like this one? Politics is a gentle art of getting votes from the poor and campaign funds from the rich by promising to protect each from the other. So anyhow, what are we going to talk about today? You want to talk about are the Democrats going to prevent any rapprochement with Iran? It looks like at least Obama is sending a little bit of interest in working out something with Iran instead of trying to start a war that he doesn't look like anybody will support, you know, after Syria. And who knows what kind of warnings he's had from Russia and China about it. And yet it looks like the Democrats are so much under the thumb of the Israel lobby that they're demanding or threatening to pass on their own more sanctions.
Indeed, Paul.
Are they actually able to pass sanctions without the president's okay?
Oh, I think it has to come in legislation, and Obama either has to sign or veto it, but it depends on how much support there is in Congress for it. They can simply override him with a two-thirds vote if he vetoes. But if they pass legislation, oh, I don't think Obama's going to go against the Congress. It'll look like he's anti-Israeli. You could just hear the Republicans now, anti-Israeli and pro-Iranian. I've written several...
That'll prove he's a Muslim.
Well, Barack Hussein Obama, they can make a case against him. Oh, I absolutely don't believe that he is softening on Iran. The rhetoric may soften, but I think the policies are the same. And we see it in Democrats in Congress that a good many of them want, the sanctions are so extreme now. And the more recent ones have done so much harm to ordinary Iranians. And I've written about these, and they're absolutely lawless. They violate international law by harming human beings. You can't do this. There are UN resolutions against this, but it's been done, and Democrats want more and Republicans want more. And I think Obama's rhetoric is one thing, Paul, but I think his policies are something else. And he's basically said, you know, until Iran gives us everything that we want, which is more than any country would give to another country, the sanctions will stay in place. There'll be no loosening. So Obama may not declare war now, but the war plans are very definitely on the books before Obama ever became president. And, you know, they can get updated from time to time. But there's no question that America's policy on Syria and on Iran, a regime change. And they're going to get that one way or another, or they're going to try to get it. If you can get it without a war, fine. If you can't get it without a war, then there'll be a war. So you've got a proxy war in Syria. If Syria gets knocked out, Iran is isolated, and there'll be even more hell against Iran down the road. And it doesn't matter who's president, Paul. I mean, it seems like a very distinguished man, Hassan Rouhani, is the president now. In his outreach has been very, very sincere, I believe. And in the end, I don't think it matters. I think the harshness against Iran for almost 35 years, I think it continues.
Well, it's certainly driven by the Israel lobby.
Absolutely.
But how does Obama continue it when they got blocked in Syria by the British Parliament and the Russian government and the UN and NATO even? No one would go along with it. And that was before the full impact of the spying scandal hit our NATO puppet states. And we now see them talking about cutting the U.S. off from various information sources. And so I don't know, if Washington goes it alone, it risks being designated a war criminal. It's got to have some kind of cover. And how are they going to get the cover? And we can say, oh, well, another false flag attack. But they're wearing out. Don't you think they're wearing out? I mean, they've lied so much that nobody believes them.
Well, you would think so. I honestly think temporarily they have kind of worn thin, but you know, you can always pull another stunt. And I honestly think some kind of a stunt will be pulled at some point. Right now, I think they're laying low for now, Paul, but I think they're going to resurface. I mean, the war, the proxy war in Syria is still raging. I mean, you see you see explosions and killings every single day by these death squads that are being imported into the country, and the CIA is involved, U.S. Special Forces are involved. So on the one hand, Obama says we want a diplomatic resolution to the conflict. On the other hand, the full support for these killers continues on a daily basis. It would be so simple to wrap this war up. You could have a legitimate peace conference. You could end all support for these, they call them rebels, I call them insurgents or death squads. You could simply cut off all support for them, and Washington could give an ultimatum to countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar. You either cut this stuff off or we'll cut you off. Saudi Arabia may be angry at America because of Obama's policy, but Saudi Arabia compared to America is a pipsqueak country. It simply can't go up against the power of America. And if America had a legitimate president and didn't want a war with Syria, there'd be no war. And Obama started the war, Paul. I can't believe he started that war to end it. I think it's going to continue. So, I mean, look what happened in the Balkans in the 1990s. For almost a whole decade, the Balkan wars raged. In Syria, yeah, it's been since around March 2011. So this thing could go on for a lot more years.
Well, I thought what was happening was that the Syrians were winning, and that's why Obama wanted to have the U.S. go in and bomb the Syrian military forces. And so it looks to me, though, that, and I don't know as much about it as you do, but it looks to me like a lot of the fighting is among the death squads and outside forces themselves.
Paul, that's very true, but what you said is very true too. If America's proxy army was winning, they wouldn't need an air force, Paul. But just like in Libya, the proxy army on the ground couldn't do a thing against Gaddafi, who was much weaker than Assad. Assad has a much stronger military than Gaddafi did. So how do you expect these proxies to defeat Assad? They simply can't do it. So they need an air force. Obama looked as though he was going to give them one. I don't think it's off the table, Paul. I think it's just delayed. It could be delayed a number of months. As long as the UN, as long as the chemical weapons inspectors say Syria is cooperating fully, I think maybe Obama will lay low. But once that thing gets wrapped up, maybe they'll pull another stunt and Obama may get the full-scale war he wants. But we'll have to watch it, and I do all the time.
Yeah. Well, do you think he can launch a war? Can the United States launch this attack on Syria by itself without any cover?
If the anti-war sentiment in America is as strong as it was to get Obama to back off this time, Paul, I think he won't do it. He will not do it. I think he needs U.S. support.
I suppose the Israel lobby brainwashes everybody, and they all want to kill the Syrians. But NATO doesn't help, and the British Parliament doesn't help, and the U.N. doesn't help, and the Russians say no. How can he do it? If he then attacks, then there's no cover, and you know what the international law is. If you an unprovoked attack on a country is a war crime. And so then, given the EU and its commitment to the International Criminal Court, they would have to issue warrants for the U.S. government and all its generals. And how does Washington diplomatically survive something like that? Doesn't that just isolate them and leave them stewing? And not only that, if everybody else is also avoiding the use of the dollar, trying to get a different way of settling international accounts, and countries start saying, get your bases out, and, you know, if the dollar's going to hell, we can't buy help. We can't buy compliance. So I just don't know if I'm just raising this question, if the ongoing American economic collapse might just make it impossible for this aggressive policy driven by the Israel lobby
Paul, it's very possible.
And the military security complex to
it's
continue.
It's very true that America's standing in the world certainly is going in the wrong direction, and I think the points you raise are very, very important. It's possible that as America's image and rating among growing numbers of world countries continues to sink, America will have less power to do the things that it has done up to this point. So that is a very, very major issue. And literally, I mean, the policies of America are just polar opposite growing numbers of countries on a worldwide basis. And I don't think America can act unilaterally. It needs support. I mean, it's got NATO. Without NATO, I mean, even the war it was going to wage against Syria, the only country it had supporting them was France. Britain backed off, as you mentioned. The parliament said no. France was willing to join. But now everything is at least on hold. And again, America literally is going in the wrong direction, and my only hope is that America can become so discredited it simply won't be able to do the things it's done in the past, and maybe somehow we'll manage to find a way to have peace. We certainly haven't for so many years.
Yeah, well, maybe peace happens just because the rest of the world ceases to tolerate Washington's aggression.
That's my hope. That's my hope, and it certainly can happen. The fact that it hasn't happened up to now post-World War II doesn't mean that it can't happen, but that's my hope. And if enough countries literally bond together and say we want no more of this crap, then wonderful things are possible, Paul. I never lose hope. I know you don't either, and it certainly is what both of us say in our writings and encourage other people to get involved in. So it is very, very possible, and we can only hope for the best.
Right. Well, Stephen, I guess our time's about up. And, of course, I don't think American prestige was helped by the government shutdown, the threat of default. And that's only been kicked down the road. That'll be back in the new year. Same problem.
Indeed,
I don't
so,
think
Paul.
It'll play well the second time.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine another round of this. We indeed are out of time. I hate to end because we were just getting warmed up. Paul, I look forward to more next month, and I'm just about at the point where they'll cut me off here. I'll just remind listeners to tune in over the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or Fridays always at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.